Hello, Mad Max Fury, Fury Dick.
Fury. I mean, whatever you want. No judgments.
Can't read. How are you?
I'm good. Here's the thing. I am tired, but I'm rolling out of a slamming weekend. And considering it's only Monday, I'm still doing pretty good from that. So there's that.
I thought you were just going to leave it at like, I'm tired, but I'm rolling. Just like on Molly right now.
Wyatt, I am rolling.
Oh, I'm extra wheezy laughy today because it got to freezing here last night. Did it get to freezing in your neck of the woods?
It like kissed
me
and
of
then
course,
ran away.
Oh, I call that the second grade. We cracked the windows, of course. So today I'm just a little extra wheezy, just a little extra today.
Having a little.
Sorry, you're going to have to deal with that. Quite excited about our topics today. We have not done this in an age, it feels like. When was the last time we recorded?
Dude, we literally recorded last week as normal.
It doesn't fucking feel like it.
Yeah.
Is it just a week ago?
Actually, like less than a week, considering it was Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, there you go.
What is time?
What is life?
I thought of you guys yesterday. Hunter threw down on the smoker yesterday.
Mac and cheese, baby.
Oh, of course. And some smoked jalapeno poppers. A smoked top sirloin. And smoked boudin.
Mm.
It was great. Do you prefer cream cheese or cheddar? Some people do cheddar stuffed in there.
Well, I can hear the disdain in your voice, so I'm going to guess that you're a cream cheese person. And I myself am a cream cheese girl.
I'm glad we agree.
I'm glad we agree as well. And I'm going to take this one step further, and I don't think we'll agree here, and I think most people will not agree with me. I don't like it with bacon on them. Like a homemade one with the bacon wrapped around it?
Yeah, you would just rather have a cream cheese jalapeno?
When you phrase it that way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't mm-hmm. agree.
I didn't think that you would. Mm-hmm. What are we doing today? What specials going on in the world today? Oh, you know what? When this releases December 2nd, it'll be Clarky Malarkey's birthday.
Oh.
So everybody send him some money. Send him some birthday vibes.
Oh, little Malarkey. What is he? 33?
33.
Old bastard.
Old sumbitch.
Oh, little Malarkey. I hope he has a good birthday.
Me too. He says he doesn't want a cake, but I'm sneaking him a cake.
You have, what do you, fuck off. What does he mean he doesn't want a cake?
I don't know. Well, he's very health conscious right now. We're on a bit of a health thing right now. I asked him what kind of cake he wanted. And he said, too many carbs. It's all sugar. I can't do that. And I was offended.
Yeah. Listen, we tore into a cake last night.
Oh, baby. What kind of cake?
So last night was our, like, and we actually did this on accident. We just wanted to like pig out because we didn't really get to have a real Thanksgiving. And we're like, you know what? We didn't have like a big fucking meal this week. Cause we, you know, that's like what you get. That's the benefit of Thanksgiving. We didn't really get that. And so he cooked a whole bunch, but we also realized that that's like, so we have two anniversaries. We have like our dating and like now the marriage one, but it was like, it also turned out that yesterday was our 5-year anniversary.
Oh,
like updating. And
wow.
I was like, well, that worked out. And so anyway, but he bought this piece of cake and I was like, so like, you're going to cook all this food, like go get us dessert too. And so he was like, going to get like some cheesecake or something like that. And he comes back with this, like, I'm trying to shape it out in my hands, maybe 5-inch by 8-inch chunk of cake And it was so big, and it was my favorite. I say it all the time, like it'll be at like 8 p.m. and I'll be like, God, you know what sounds good? And it's always chocolate layer cake. I love chocolate layer cake. It's my favorite thing ever. And it was this big cinder block of chocolate layer cake, and we ate all of it. We ate every goddamn bite of it, and it was great.
It was a big fuck off, I fuck you not, chocolate layer cake. You also say layer cake.
Layer
cake.
I guess that is, yeah, instead of layer. Layer.
Layer.
Layer cake. That's right. That's interesting.
I'm glad you think so.
You know, is another word that it was pointed out to me in high school that I say it weird, and I know that I do, but I can't fix it.
Ten.
Well, that was because my fucking crazy teacher basically made us. But like, I say several, like with a Y.
Like a fucking Wisconsinite?
I guess. Yeah. Instead of like, I don't know how.
What is your deal?
I say several.
Dude, what is your fucking deal?
I don't know. Several. I don't get it.
Several? Wow. What is your accent? One day we'll find out.
Hodgepodge.
Modge podge.
Oh. That's a fun substance.
You ever modge podged anything? Oh, you answered my question.
I love it. Do some decoupage.
Oh, God. One time, I had to be like 8 years old. Me and mom did a decoupage of an old suit, like a vintage-ass suitcase. And we put those, we covered it in like magazine, I don't know how else to explain this, like magazine cutouts of angels, like fat angel babies.
Awesome. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But it was just covered in those. And I wish to God that that was still out there somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
I would want it. I didn't appreciate it at the time. I didn't give a shit.
Dude, doesn't that suck? I think about that a lot.
Yes.
Things that I like came across in high school at antique stores and shit and like just passed up. And it's just like, oh man, you dumb bitch.
I know. As you get older and your tastes kind of shift more into that old bitch lane, you think of all the old bitch shit that you've passed up in your life.
And it's such a treasure.
Tell me, Mace Wad, Scab Toes, Mace Waker. That's it. That's all I can remember. What is your topic today?
Hyssop.
Okay. Cool. I'm talking at you about saffron.
Oh, expensive.
Very. Hyssop.
Saffron's tasty, though.
You know, I'm not sure that I am fancy enough to be able to tell you what it tastes
like. Okay, well, I think I've had saffron rice, but like it very well could have been flavoring. You know, I don't believe that it was true saffron, but it was tasty.
You don't think that they put real saffron in that $1 bag of microwave rice?
Yeah, you know, it's the fragrance oil of saffron instead of like the essential oil.
When I worked at Sephora, there was a brand that came, like while I was working there, they debuted a new like serum, facial serum, and it was made with saffron oil. And that was like their big, oh boy, it was their big selling point. They were like, this is worth more than gold. And it smelt very bad. And so that's all I really think about. I'm pretty sure I know what it tastes like because I've had like saffron buns, which are just chef kiss.
That's good.
Yeah, baby. I think that you go first, and I think you're going to talk to me about hyssop. Clarify one thing with me. When I see hyssop, now you got me all fucked up. I always think of it in a like a syrup form. Is that correct, or am I dumb?
It can be in many forms. Where are my notes?
Hold on. Well, while you look for them, I think we should dedicate this episode to a Patreon.
Okay.
What was our old song that we used to do?
Patreon shout out segment.
No, that's the song from Little Shop of Horrors.
No, that is 100% of the song we used to do. Patreon shout out segment. That was the
one. Yeah, that was those are two completely different songs.
I feel like so incorrect.
I thought you were you are so stoned. So listen to me. Our dedication this week's episode goes out to Joy R.
See, the first song that came to my head, because I couldn't remember the name, but I could remember the syllables, and this is so fucking lame, but the first thing that came to my head was, it's beginning to look a lot like Joy R. Everywhere I go.
I'm sufficiently bummed out.
I know. It's a bummer.
There are a couple of songs. There are a couple of songs on this earth that are supposed to, I think they're supposed to be joyful, but they just give me the sads. Like that song, for one. Happy Birthday.
Oh, that's a sad song.
Oh my God. And then fucking the New Year's. Oh God, I forget the fucking name of it, but the New Year's song, the.
Oh, like Auld Lang Syne or whatever. Never brought to mind. Yeah.
It's a very sad song to me. And it just kind of drones.
Yeah. I do like, I can't remember, Auld Lang Syne? I don't remember. I do like that song. I think it's pretty.
I don't not think it's pretty.
I guess I mean is I don't get bummed by it.
I don't understand. I get bummed by it in the context of why is everyone singing this at the beginning of a new year? I mean, I get like the start of 2020 that fits, fitting, perfect. But I feel like we should just all sing like Apple Bottom Jeans or something at the start of a new year. Something very
set the tone.
Yeah.
Can you remember, or can you imagine, like, everybody sitting around the piano like you do with that, like, New Year's song? Like,
and you're like, so you sleepy silver dress.
Apple bottom jeans and the boots with the fur, with the fur. The honeycomb was looking at her. Yeah.
This fucking Richard Cheese comes in. She hit the floor. Okay, well, that was more like B-52s, but you did it. Talk to me about
sure, listen, it's Hyssopus officinalis. I like that one. I can say that one and I like it.
Hyssopus? What did you say?
Hyssopus officinalis.
Hyssopus sounds like a word you'd get in trouble for saying.
It does, I know. Yeah. I already lost my place. Okay, so.
It's the beginning.
So, hyssop is, of course, a shrub. Love a shrub. All of the best guys are shrubs. And it is in the. Guess what?
Merch! Oh my God. Do that again where I'm not screaming merch in the background.
Is that what you said? I think you might have cut out because I didn't hear that at all.
Probably for the better. You said the best guys are shrubs. And I said, my best friends are shrubs. And then I screamed merch.
Merch! Yeah, I heard that. That's great. So hyssop lives natively in the Middle East, Southern Europe, and around the Caspian Sea, which the Caspian Sea to me just sounds like fiction.
It sounds haunted. It's just made of ghosts.
See, to me, it just sounds like it belongs in like a fantasy novel, like Caspian Sea.
You have to take the bridge of Dardangle across the Caspian Sea. Yeah, I get it.
Dardangle.
That was my take on the bridge of Khazad-dûm.
Dardangle. Everybody, let's go on this long, long treacherous pilgrimage to Dardangle. Sure.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Continue. It grows around the Caspian Sea.
All around the Caspian Sea. So yes. It is not a very huge guy. It's 12 to 24 inches tall. So good shrub, like a good shrub, compact shrub size.
Classic shrub.
And it has kind of like a woody kind of stem and has like very upright branches that grow out of it. So in the summertime, hyssop blooms and you get all, you know, different colors, a lot of pink, a lot of blue. Every now and again, you'll get some white, but they're really fragrant flowers and they smell nice. And in the language of flowers.
Oh, the Victorian language of flowers.
The Victorian language of flowers. Hyssop symbolizes cleanliness and sacrifice and has been used since ancient times for ritual cleaning of holy places. And I go on to explain this at some point eventually, I think coming up soon. So you get this twice, but hyssop is mentioned a lot in the Bible, but now it seems like they were talking about another plant. And so, So it's
one of those funny translation mistake or translation error.
It's like it's lost to time almost as to what it is exactly they were talking about.
Like they say the apple is not, it was never actually an apple. It was a pomegranate.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Apparently. Then again, I did get that directly from a palm juice commercial. So they might have fudged it a little bit.
So the name hyssop appears as a translation of Ezov in some translations of the Bible. So for instance, Psalms 51:7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. But since then, researchers have kind of started being like, the plant currently known as hyssop is not necessarily the one that they were probably talking about. You know, one of these is Syrian oregano. Another instance is 1 Kings 4:33 mentions that Ezov was a small plant, and some scholars believed it was a wall plant. So it sounds like a climber.
Hmm.
According to Numbers 19:6, you would burn it with red heifer and use it for to purify lepers.
Okay.
Leviticus 14:4-6 and Leviticus 14:49-51. And, those were clarifying when it talks about helping lepers, and Numbers 19:18. So at Passover, it was used to sprinkle the sacrificial lamb's blood on the doorposts. And that's according to Exodus 12:22. And apparently, so a sponge attached to a hyssop branch is what was used to give Jesus, while he was crucified on the cross, a drink of vinegar.
Huh. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, because it's not a very long branch, you know? And so, I mean, if it was truly hyssop, so I feel like they have to weave several together.
You remember in Friends where they try to poke the dead naked guy and they have to put all the chopsticks together? That's kind of what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it just seems cumbersome. Yeah. So kind of some other plants that people believe. Some people believe it's perhaps a species of marjoram it's being referred to. Some believe it's a caper plant, which love capers. Delicious.
Huh. Oh, give me a caper.
Give me a caper.
One caper, please.
Which is actually a nice little follow-up, because like I wasn't sure about this myself, but like the other day Hunter, he told me about this. He was like buying groceries and he had a jar of capers and he checked out and the girl like picked him up and she was like, "What are these?" And like he didn't know how to answer her. And for a minute I didn't either. I was like, "Well, I don't know what they are. Like I know they're capers, but like what's a caper? Like what are these things?" And he was like, "I know, I didn't know." I was like, "Wow, look at that."
Oh, did we ever solve the mystery?
Well, apparently they just grow on a plant. It's a caper plant.
Huh. Aren't they the buds of something?
I don't know. They look like little buds. Little.
Yeah, like I think they're like the little buds of things. I think it's the bud of cilantro.
No. I don't think so.
What
is coriander?
Is a caper. Oh, well, that was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. Capers are the immature, unripened green flower buds of the caper bush.
Oh, so capers are capers.
Wow. Mm-hmm. But it's a
flower. You heard it here, folks.
It's my point. Yeah. It's, I think a lot of people think they have something to do with fish.
Why?
I don't know. I just remember that was a joke in, I don't even remember, some TV show or something. But I remember like a lot of people thinking capers had, I thought it was something to do with fish.
Maybe like their eyeballs.
Ew.
They look like they could be fish eyeballs.
Eggs.
Oh. How do you feel about caviar? Have you ever had caviar?
I think that I have. Not in recent years, and I'm sure it was not an elite brand of caviar.
Yeah, that's what I had some, and I think it was maybe $20 for the jar. I just remember being like, this is gross.
I think that's one of those things that if you do go for the luxury experience, that you have a much better time. You know how they say like really expensive fish isn't fishy?
Yeah, that's true. Like good, clean, pure fish. Yeah.
I never really quite got that until I went to Tokyo and I had a piece of fish that tasted like watermelon. It tasted like a slice of watermelon. So I figure caviar has to be the same. Like if you get the bad shit, it's just dirty, mm-hmm. fishy smell.
Yeah. And that's what it was. I essentially had like a jar of dirty fish smell. And I just remember.
Ooh, it's like a... It's like from the pier at Lake Tawakoni.
That's what it felt like. Like, I just remember, I'm like, this is wrong. This isn't the way this is supposed to be.
Fucking catfish eggs.
Oh, God. I do love some catfish, though. Oh, boy.
Oh, catfish is... Oh, I'll fuck with some fried catfish. Oh, God damn it. That sounds good.
Listen.
Sorry. I'm hungry. Tell me about joy. Not joy. Tell me about...
Joy. Tell me about joy. Because hyssop comes from, you know, kind of the Mediterranean region, kind of a drier place. It can handle some drought. It can deal with that. It's a shrub, man. Like, it can handle it. It loves some sun. Put it in the full sun. It can even grow in kind of like some sandy or like chalky, dry soil. It doesn't really care. Just put it in dirt in the sun and it's all right.
It's a dry bitch. All right.
It's a dry bitch. And it makes for a good cooking herb. So in Middle Eastern spice blends, it makes its way in there. You want to use it a little bit conservatively because it can overpower easily due to the strong flavor that it has. So one thing I thought was sweet.
Did you say what it happened to taste like? Did you have a comparison?
I do in here somewhere. It's like minty and lavendery, apparently.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm down with it. That sounds kind of old lady.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I love an old lady taste.
Me too, man.
So this was a cute little thing. It makes a great addition to a garden. And I was reading, it's well-behaved was a term that I read. And I thought that was the sweetest way to put it. It's a very well-behaved plant. It doesn't really want to spread that bad. It can deal with your neglect a little bit. And it loves to just bring in all of the bees and butterflies.
And that's terrible.
Yeah, they just want it. It's great for them. And I love that. I just think it's sweet. So the leaves themselves can be used in cooking. Very aromatic purposes, especially. They have a very strong smell. The leaves have kind of like a bitter taste, and that's because it contains tannins. But it has that lavendery kind of minty with a little bit of bitter aroma to it. And it can be, the herb is used to flavor liqueur, one of those being absinthe and also chartreuse. Have you ever heard of chartreuse? I've never heard of a chartreuse liqueur.
I have heard of it, but I don't think I've experienced it.
Oh.
Isn't it... I am maybe just thinking of absinthe, but I think chartreuse is also green.
It is. Yeah. It's like the color. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your feelings on absinthe?
I've never had it, but I would if it was fucking the real stuff. Well, because the legal shit in the U.S., I don't think is like the real shit. You know what I mean?
No, 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 no. They don't make it with drugs anymore.
Well,
well, fuck it.
That's but absinthe, can, though. What's the point?
You can add your own drugs, Macy. All absinthe is technically, have I added drugs or have I had it?
Have you had absinthe?
I have had absinthe. I went to an absinthe bar in Dallas once and they had like the full fucking thing. They had the fancy little decanters that they pour out of and the fancy little sugar cube things that they, you know, set on top of your glass. It was very nice. I didn't mean to sound like Borat there, but I here's the thing. I fucking hate absinthe.
What does it taste like?
You would.
Is it licorice?
You'd love it, dude. Yeah, it's fucking anise. It's just licorice.
Great.
You would get fucked.
So it's like psychedelic Jaeger, but green.
Oh, God, don't ever say Jaeger to me again.
You love it.
I'm serious. You know how normal people, like, they're like, oh, I can't do tequila because I drank too much that one time or whatever. That's Jaeger for me.
No, I remember several, I feel like at least two straight years of my life oh, yeah. to where you and Rustin always brought Jaeger everywhere.
Fucking, oh God, I can't believe how much Jaeger we drink. It's disgusting. Nobody likes Jaeger.
I like Jaeger.
No, like you Jaeger. Don't. You don't. The only reason to enjoy Jaeger is within a Jaeger bomb.
See, here's, I don't mind it. And one, I like schnapps. Like those are kind of my favorite kind of liquor if I'm going to drink sure. liquor at all. Sure. But the licorice taste overrides the taste of alcohol, which it's the taste of alcohol huh. that I hate so much. And it makes me instantly queasy. It's why I can't drink liquor. I if I even barely taste any bit of that alcohol taste, it's, I'm immediately like, nope, I'm out. So
you're such a baby.
I just drink wine instead, or Truly's.
Sponsor of the show.
Oh, Truly. Friend of the show. But Jaeger gets Truly. Around that for me a little bit. Like a lot of schnapps do. Like peach schnapps are that way for me and whatnot. I can drink that.
Well, now I know. I will revive the tradition of bringing a little bottle of Jaeger when I come around yours. So.
We have some in our freezer, and I think it's only still there because Hunter repeatedly forgets about it.
I love a good treat that you just keep forgetting about.
It's happened multiple times at this point to where, like, there's nothing in the house to drink, and he'll be bummed about it. I'm like, there's Jaeger in the freezer, and he's like, whoa! And he'll have, like, a little two-finger glass of Jaeger or whatever. It's just like that happens every time.
Okay.
So I have a little tea recipe for you. Oh, wait, shit. No, I'm jumping ahead of myself. So hyssopus officinalis, it doesn't need to be confused with anise hyssop or agastache foeniculum.
Sure.
As they aren't the same. So anise hyssop tastes like anise and is like a different plant. They're not the same, but anise hyssop is what it's like commonly called. So it's confusing, but they're not the same thing. So a tea recipe for you. Infuse a 1/4 ounce of dried hyssop flowers in a pint of boiling water for 10 minutes. Sweeten with honey and take a wine glass full 3 times Whoa. A day for debility of the chest. It is also considered a powerful vermifuge. That was from an old cookery book I found. Do you know what a vermifuge is?
I was going to ask.
So vermifuge is another word for enthalmintic medicine, which is something to get rid of body parasites such as worms.
Oh. Yeah, if you have worms, you might need 3 wine glassfuls of that a day.
You know. And that was from botanical.com. So hyssop is traditionally used in teas. And you can get it that way. You can drink it in a tea, or you can also get it as a capsule or an extract, like essential oil or like a tincture, even. So always
a syrup, might you say?
I suppose.
Great.
So one thing I did see was that if you brew a tea or if you have a tincture, your essential oils and whatnot, keep them closed. Don't like leave the caps off and whatnot, because the essential oil has volatile properties and it can just,
whoa,
just go away. Like it'll just evaporate away. So,
all right. Rendering it useless.
I think it very much weakened. Yeah. Eventually. Yeah. So some side effects that are important to note. So because hyssop has ketones, although in decently small quantities, the essence, the essential oil, is very concentrated and it's toxic. It can cause epileptic attacks to those who are predisposed to them, or even for those who aren't. So especially don't really use it if you're pregnant, because that's a given. Like pretty much you just need to wrap yourself in like padding for 9 months, it seems. But also
just drink water for nine months.
Yeah. It's so hard, it seems, to be pregnant. I don't know how y'all do it. So yeah, other than being pregnant, like just in general, like don't ingest the essential oil. Don't do it. That's the whole point of this. You know, it will give you a seizure, probably.
Hey now, don't try it.
There you go. Don't do it. Just don't do it. You know, it does have its medical uses for illness and sickness. You can diffuse it in the sick room, you know, the essential oil, things like that. But like, don't, for the love of God, just like spoonful down some hyssop oil.
It's going to make me better.
Yeah, it's not your buddy. It's a diaphoretic, which means that it induces sweating. It's a stimulant to the nervous system, and it is a carminative medicine, which relieves flatulence, both in the prevention and the relief of, the expulsion of.
Wait, so it keeps you from tooting?
Well, no. I mean, okay.
Or
it can help you toot if you need to, and it can help over time prevent you from having the toots. You got me? You good?
I'm 12.
So let's get into like the metaphys, you know, let's do that. Hyssop's all about purification. Like that's its jam. That's what it is all about. So, you know, whether it be cleansing sick rooms, both mundanely and metaphysically, or like in full home or body purifications, that's its bag. It's about purification. It can be added to floor washes or like smokeless cleansing sprays. I saw that you could combine it with like blessed water, like hyssop holy water. That's what it seemed like. I thought this was cute. You can tie little sprigs to your besom to kind of, you know, just as you're swiping around it.
Adorable.
Sprinkled on the floor or placed in corners, really however you want to do it. It can help purify your home. It can do, you know, any of those ways. It's pretty versatile. So I saw in root work practices, hyssop is a preferred choice for taking cleansing baths. And particularly this pertains to, from what I was on a forum on Lucky Mojo, it's a big long forum, it was so interesting. Basically cleansing for after you have performed like hex work.
Ah, ooh.
Cleanse the caster of guilt or sin, you know. And it focuses on the negativity you've brought onto yourself.
I need some hyssop.
Very interesting. Yeah, I was very fascinated reading through that.
I guess so, man. If its bag is like all purification, that makes sense.
And another thing, it said like, you know, oftentimes these are like pour over baths. You know, you're maybe sitting in 6 or so inches of water, but you're pouring down, and kind of like that's how you cleanse yourself after doing this. And along with that, because it is things that you've brought onto yourself, well, you can you can fuck yourself over so bad you need to uncross, do it like an uncrossing because of yourself. And so it can work with that as well. So, you know, it can do uncrossing work. And since it is focused on things you've done to you, I feel like I have done that to myself before for sure. You know, it's
one hundo P.
Yeah. You know? And so I was like, well, that's good to know, you know, that you can kind of do that to help kind of uncross from yourself. But that's it from what I could find on the metaphysical. It's pretty straightforward. It's about purification. Use it how, you know, you see fit. Like if you're like someone who has like, you know, corner bowls in your house that kind of have like herbs and whatnot to keep it clean. Or if you want to like turn it into like a mist that you can spray or tie it to your broom or a floor wash or cleanse yourself after you do some hex work, you know, like it's just like, that's its bag. Like it will purify. It will cut.
It will cut. What's that from?
Forged in Fire.
Oh God. That's right. His little shoehorned in saying.
Yeah.
Oh man. Forged in Fire. Have you been watching more of that?
No, there's no new ones.
Okay. Speaking of hexing, did you ever hear about the witch talk community trying to hex the moon?
Yeah, I purposely avoided that because I thought it was so goddamn stupid. I didn't even want to dip my toe in it.
I don't really even know anything about it, so I'm sorry if it goes deeper than that. I don't, whatever. I just read all these baby witches are trying to hex the moon. And I just kind of shut off after that and was like, that's all I need to know. Thank you.
Yeah, as I am checked out and I'm not even convinced anything actually happened or it was just the spreading of bullshit and nothing actually
either way
happened. But that sounds like TikTok in a nutshell.
Basically, dude.
I mean, you just spread bullshit all day.
Not that we need to tell you guys this. I'm sure you already know, but stress can impact our lives in less than ideal ways. Macy, how's your mental health?
Oh, it's mental health. It's there. It's doing its thing. But let me tell you, on the days when it gets a little bananas, I'm sure glad that there's BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is a worldwide, affordable, convenient connection with a professional, licensed counselor from the privacy of your own home and the comfort of your own couch.
That's right. No terrible, terrible waiting room in sight. You can log on, set up an account, and within 24 hours, be chatting, calling, messaging, however you want to talk to your licensed professional counselor.
BetterHelp makes it easy to change your counselor if you need to. This is not self-help. This is professional counseling.
And the beauty of it being online is that you can really dive into topics that you might not be able to find specialties in your area. Say if you live in a small town or something like that, it can really help you find exactly what it is that you're needing to work through.
Issues such as depression,
relationships,
sleeping,
trauma,
anger,
grief,
LGBT matters,
self-esteem,
and more. Everything that you do share is confidential. But listen, Mace, the Wabeens out there, I know for a fact that they don't trust a word we say. So you can go check out the testimonials posted daily on their site. Their website is betterhelp.com. That's help, as in H-E-L-P.
Furthermore, Wabeens, we are excited to let you know that BetterHelp is offering 10% off for Wabeen listeners their first month. All you have to do is go to betterhelp.com/witch. And you can use that to get 10% off your first month with BetterHelp.com/witch.
I want to talk to you about saffron.
I forgot. That's what we were talking about. I'm excited.
Saffron, also known as Crocus sativus, or
oh,
or saffron crocus? Dude, don't even talk to me about sativus or sativa. I don't even want to hear it. It's the same thing when I hear Jaeger. I just get queasy. Saffron is a member of the iris family. It comes from the Arabic word za'farin, which means yellow or golden, and or the Persian word zarparin, gold, which means gold strung. And if you've ever seen saffron, they are these very pretty little, so golden, so like orangey that they're almost red strands.
The color is gorgeous.
Very pretty. So the element associated with saffron is fire. The planet is the sun, which is not a planet, Mars and Jupiter. The zodiac signs it's tied to are Leo and Taurus. And I am a Leo with my moon in Taurus. So this is, I invented saffron. The deities that you can work with saffron are Venus, Zeus, Helios, Hecate, and Dionysus. The latter two, Hecate and Dionysus, are particularly fond of offerings of saffron, which sounds really ASCII if you know how expensive it is.
Yeah, that's what they want. Anything else is like, I suppose. Mm. Sure.
It's like Dionysus I can see because he seems a little lavish, you know. But yeah. Hecate, man, she's kind of like, bring me a black dog or some saffron.
See, I don't know. I also feel like Dionysus would be happy with some like trash can punch.
I think, you know, if you brought him like a wine cooler, he'd be cool.
A Zima.
Some Bartles and James.
What is that?
The tarot that it's associated with is, you know, BJ's, those really cheap ass wine coolers.
Oh, I don't know.
Must not be old enough. Oh, you know, the ones that are like neon blue.
No.
Okay. Okay. The tarot it's associated with is the Wheel of Fortune. So saffron itself as the spice comes from the Crocus sativa plant, where in each flower, these flowers look again like lilies, what did I say the family was? Iris. Sorry, I get lilies and iris confused all the time. But it has those kind of big leaves that open up. And in the middle, it has three, what are they called? Stigmas, I believe. There's stigmas and stamens. Yeah. So it's the stigmas. Each flower has three of those. Now, those stigmas are what you pick off.
I'm looking them up right now because I wanted to see what it looks like. Oh, they're so pretty.
They are very pretty. But each flower has three stigmas right there in the middle, and those are the threads of saffron. So the limited number of stigmas that you get off of each flower combined with several other factors makes saffron the most expensive spice in the world. Here are those factors. Listen here. Listen to how much goes into this. Here, one, it does not reproduce on its own. It needs very specific care. It needs intervention to reproduce.
God, it's like a French bulldog.
I was thinking of that comparison. It's a very persnickety plant. If it becomes too wet or too cold or has too much shade or isn't on its preferred sloped terrain, it dies pretty easily. Around 5,000... Yeah. Around five, it's like the opposite of hyssop. Hyssop you could just throw at a rock.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, what did you say that was so funny?
Well-behaved.
Well-behaved. Saffron is not a well-behaved plant. Around 5,000 of the flowers are needed to make 1 ounce of saffron.
That's
five.
Okay.
I know, man. 5,000 flowers, not even 5,000 of the stigmas or threads of saffron to make that much, 5,000 flowers. So it's similar to rose or maybe jasmine in that way, but really amped up. All harvesting of the flower is done by hand during a 1 week window. So no big fucking machines come along because if these big machines come along, it's going to knock the little stamens or whatever they're called loose. So they have to be harvested by hand during this one very special tiny week window. And then all of the plucking of the saffron itself has to be done by hand as well. Also, it's becoming quite diminished due to climate change. So all of this stuff together kind of combines and makes saffron worth its weight and sometimes more in gold. That being said, it averages out. It can be more. It can be less. It averages to $3,500 per pound.
Yeah.
$3,500 per pound. When you use it in cooking, the taste of saffron is described as hay-like, but with a touch of sweetness, like honey. I imagine that since I can't really place in my head saffron because I'm not fancy and I haven't just had it with every meal, I imagine it kind of tastes like sweetgrass smells, you know, that kind of sweet hay, sweetgrass kind of smell.
Which is funny because it's so expensive.
Oh, yeah, just you heard it here on Wubba. If you ever want to use saffron, just throw some sweetgrass at it.
Eat some hay.
Just stick a hay at your teeth. Saffron is not recommended during pregnancy and breastfeeding. So drawings older than 50,000 years have been found on cave walls with saffron acting as the main colorant. So a lot of the times on these cave wall drawings, they'll have this very pretty kind of yellowy, tannish color. Of course, it's faded through the 50,000 years, but people have been using this for a very long time. It's as long as it's been around, it has been used by humans in some way. It's also been the most expensive spice since trade and buying things with money has been around.
The so wealthy, it's just always been expensive.
Oh, it's all because it's extremely...
Yeah, it's a soft bitch.
It's extremely hard to get... Yeah, it's a soft bitch. It's hard to get your hands on. And doing those cave drawings, dude, I can't even imagine how... Like, how did you figure out I'm going to take these little things out of this flower and I'm going to make a paint, but I have to use so much of it that my brain's going to explode.
I don't know. Psychedelics.
The wealthy have always used saffron for its deep, rich color. That was my Australian deep, rich color.
Yeah, it was. I heard.
Deep, rich color. For some reason, Trixie Mattel always says that in a fucking Australian accent, so I'm stealing that. But they've used saffron for its deep, rich color, to dye their clothing, to show off how fancy they are. They also made a show of cooking foods vibrant with saffron to show off their stature and their wealth. I believe this is something that through time also reappeared in the Victorian age or era. You know how the Victorians kind of... they loved to show off and make a show of their food and how fancy they were and other little pie molds and shit like that. The Phoenicians would use saffron as a cure for depression. And they also used it in honorings to the moon goddess Ashtoreth. Cleopatra, this bitch, she was about some saffron. Can I say that? I don't know. She added saffron to her baths for beauty because that was a thing that she
did. How did it not stain her?
Oh, it did, actually. That was part of the reason she used it. It gave her a like a golden glow that she was quite fond of. And she also quite adored the scent that it would leave on her. And she liked to get sexy with it because she would leave some, apparently, allegedly, near her bed, whether that was growing or just sprigs of the herb just kind of thrown at it. She would leave some near her bed to make her rendezvous more passionate.
Wow.
I'm going to butcher this. The saffron shoe code was created in the 14th century. Because they had to regulate the trade of saffron shipments. If you were found trying to sell some BS, low rent, cut with flour, shitty saffron bullshit, you would be imprisoned or executed.
Oh.
That's how serious.
Wow.
Oh, and by the way, the source that I got this from, they also went so far as to mention that when you're executed, you are done so with fire. This whole saffron shoe code looks very interesting. It had a lot to do with the it kind of goes hand in hand with the Black Plague, and apparently the one theft of a saffron shipment caused what was known as the Saffron Wars during this time. And I'm going to need some more information on that, but I couldn't find anything super reliable. So we'll see. Now, in a mundane / medical usage, medical uses for saffron dates back as far as the herb itself in the past. Saffron's been used for treating ailments of the organs, such as liver problems, bladder problems, kidney problems. Also helpful in a tea when someone is down with stomach problems, colds, and insomnia. Although it seems pretty expensive to be using it for that. If I'm going to make a tea to help with like a tummy ache, it's going to be peppermint tea or something that I can throw a fuck ton of herbs at and not spend, what was it, $30,000, whatever? Like
$3,500 a pound or some shit.
No, thank you. No, thank you. One of
is
those,
it a pound or an ounce?
It's per pound for that cost, but it takes 5,000 flowers to make the ounce.
That is ridiculous.
I don't understand. I don't understand how we have saffron. If we get that little of it.
I know. Like, how is there enough? Like, how much land is being taken up to grow this flower?
I know. Is it worth it?
No, probably not.
Clark and I have a little thimbly airtight, because it needs to be kept airtight, because it's like, I guess, hyssop. Kind of volatile. It will just lose its mojo. We have a little container of it that has probably long gone bad in our pantry that we have held on to for the entirety of 6-7 years and never used it because we're too fucking scared.
What if you fuck up?
It's like, well, because then we won't have any saffron. We won't be able to say we can make saffron buns. One of the things that saffron will help with is the menstruation process, or in conception. This is probably the driving force behind the link that it has with fertility magic. In a magical sense, saffron's highly connected to sexuality, love, and lust work, but also shines as a third eye specialty. Psychic ability awakening is a power that it holds. Oh. It can aid you in divination and clairvoyance. Drinking a tea of saffron is said to give visions or dreams of the future. I imagine it's because it would be so expensive to make a tea out of saffron that you just drink some and you just know, you see a future of no money. And
I was just thinking that. I was just like, man, how fucking fancy would I have to be to go into my kitchen, flip my kettle on, my $10 electric kettle, and make saffron tea.
And pour it into your punch me mug.
My chipped up waba punch me mug.
And then you put some dollar store like sweetener in it and you just slam it down.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, well, you'll have prophetic dreams that night. Works of healing benefit from saffron being added to it. I saw a suggestion that practitioners of healing work do a hand wash in saffron water before and after a healing. This is an instance in which I could actually see justifying the use of saffron here, especially if you maybe put it into a spray bottle, if you're a massage therapist or a Reiki worker or anything like that, and kind of doing a little spritz, because you got to wash your hands before and after each client anyway. So get your little spritz and cleanse yourself of any grossness you may have picked up in the process. And listen here. Apparently you can control the weather. Saffron has the power.
Oh, shit.
It can be used to raise the wind, as the ancient Persians would use it for. And, of course, exorcisms. Full stop.
Of course.
So for the uses of saffron, you can burn it on a charcoal disc, although, please, again, I don't understand, unless you are crazy rich, why you would be burning this. It's literally burning money. You can wear it, which seems far more applicable. Make it into an infusion or a tea, or even just sort of carry it around in your wallet. But that's saffron.
I liked it.
I did too. Now I really want some saffron rice. Saffron rice.
Saffron.
Saffron is what I'm going to name my firstborn.
There you go. Come here. Saffron.
Meet my son, Saffron.
Oh my God. Get so many eye rolls.
Would you be my friend still if I did that?
I would. I would just, for the rest of your life, give you hell about it.
You could just call him Ron.
Ron.
Can we make some canon right now? Can we just jam in some Wabal lore that anyone named Ron, like their given papered name, is actually Saffron?
Saffron. It changes so many things. It's funny to think of Ron Swanson's name actually being Saffron.
Yeah. That's so much. I was thinking Ron Weasley, but I could actually see that. Ron Swanson. Mm-hmm. Saffron Swanson. But you know what I can see? I've got bean footage for you.
Oh, that was well executed.
I'm the queen of the segue. I actually got halfway through that sentence and I forgot what I had just said that I was going to use to roll it, but I have bean footage. This is from Ginny Fu 82. Reviews titled Simply Captivating. Fun and educational with a healthy dose of nerd. These ladies will make you giggle snort as they discuss everything from the traditional herbs, crystals, and deities to manners, mad libs, and black-eyed children. Welcome to the Bean Cauldron, my lovelies. We all belong here. I love that. Did I do it too sexy?
No. That was just a nice review.
It was very nice. Very thought out. Mm-hmm. Talking about the black-eyed children, shout out to our second spooky zone. Second?
I think. I don't know. I don't like to think about that episode.
That's definitely the episode that we get the most. Well, aside from the fourth one where we had the audio interference.
That was just us being dead.
Which I still fucking love it when people will write in and be like, listen. we're such dicks. The second one's definitely the one that we have the most people write in with weird shit.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about a spooky soap right now.
Oh God. Why does thinking about a spooky soap feel the same as thinking about getting pregnant? Like that's
because
the level
that
of I don't.
Last one felt like a baby.
Jesus Christ, 4 hours. Macy, I want to ask you a question that I must have thought of at some point. It's unrelated to anything. I must have thought it over some point this past week because I thought it was important enough to write down. Do you have any songs that you listen to only, you only allow yourself to listen to them every once in a while as a treat so they don't get old?
Yes. You're making me have to think of one now. Somewhere Only We Know by Keane.
Really? Mm-hmm. I like that song.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time, and I love it so dearly. Really? And it was very heavily played when I was younger, and so now I only visit it when I need it. And I love it.
I feel that. Yeah. Because the worst thing in the world is loving a song so much and just burning your ass out on it. And every time you hear it, you're like, oh, I love you and I respect you, but I'm going to skip you. No, I want to not listen to it all the time and feel the love and appreciation for it still. That's kind of how I feel about the burning out on it anyway, about the entirety of the Black Parade. I love it, but I listen to it so frequently still as a 32-year-old woman.
Oh, see, I that's one that I treat myself to. I treat myself really? To the Black Parade, and it's only when I listen to it on vinyl too. I have the record and I'll put it on my player and I will listen to it in that state, usually when I'm alone cleaning and also shouting with it.
And there's only one song that gets skipped on that entire album.
Which one?
Disenchanted.
Oh, Disenchanted. My brain. I know that record backwards and front. And for some reason, the answer I was going to say was Disturbia.
Yeah, you know that brief Rihanna interlude on the Black Parade?
Oh my God.
Oh, Christ. Jesus.
It was the roar of the crowd that gave me heartache despair.
There's not much love lost between me and that song.
It's fine.
It's fine. I have multiple that I don't allow myself to listen to. The one that I can think of, and I only really let myself hear it every once in a while, which seems so fucking stupid, but Push by The Cure never fails to put me in a good mood.
I haven't really listened to The Cure very much.
They're very versatile. You know, I feel like if there's any reason you don't like them, try another album because it'll be completely different. I know we're running out of time here. Like, we put ourselves on a fucking schedule or something. There are a few bands that I really want to see, and the idea of them breaking up or something before I can see them live breaks my heart. And now that COVID is here doing a thing, do you understand how sad I'm going to be if I don't get to see, like, the last tour of The Cure? Do you understand how sad I'm going to be? Tell me your version of that.
The first one that came to my mind that would gut me the most. I mean, that's really hard. I've already seen them both, but if something happened to the Decemberists and if something happened to the Deer Hunter, D-E-A-R Deer, I would be very, yeah, very, very, very upset about it.
I thought about you the other day. Clark smashing into the room and he goes, "I found my new favorite band. I love it." I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "It's called the Deer Hunter." And I was like, "Oh, Jesus."
Was it D-E-A-R or D-E-E-R?
I think D-E-A-R. Is there a D-E-E-E?
Yes, the Deer Hunter with an E-E-R. I have so much to talk to him about.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I was like, "You've got to get on the horn with Mace."
They're so good. I do want to plug them real quick, or it's not them specifically, but the frontman, Casey Crescenzo, he has started a solo project called Honorary Astronaut. He dropped a little EP on Spotify not too terribly long ago, and it's great. And it's like, you listen to that EP, even if I don't feel like you know who they are, or used to his style or whatever, you're listening to someone who just had a good fucking time putting an album together, like a little EP together. It's great. And I really recommend listening to the whole thing. And like, listen to the whole thing, because all of the songs are kind of different. One might not be your bag, but like, I've listened to it multiple times over. And every time I hear it, I love it more and more and more. And it's just so funky and interesting. And it's great. It's called Honorary Astronaut.
Funky?
Funky.
Was funky an adjective that you just used?
Yeah. There's some like Oregon in there.
Oh, it's funky.
That's not a weird thing to say.
It's a funky thing to say. Listen, if you'd like to advertise with the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, you can do so at advertisecast.com/thewitchbitchamateurhour or shoot us an email. Speaking of our email address, Macy, what is it?
WBAHpodcast@gmail.com.
Instagram. Instagram. Is at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. Our Twitter at
Bitch Hour.
Come dine with us.
Come dine with us. Let's dine. Let's dine away.
Dine away. Oh no. Come dine with us on Facebook at Witch Amateur Hour and a Patreon should you wish to support the podcast. No fucking pressure. Is patreon.com/WBAH podcast. There it is. Sweetest little P.O. box and whorehouse in Texas.
P.O. Box 865, Canton, Texas, 75103.
One time Macy got really pissed off at me because I wrote her and said, what's the zip code for Canton, Texas? And your response was, dude, we literally say it every week. For 2 fucking years.
Yep.
Well, that's the kind of love and care you get when you ask Macy a fucking stupid question.
Yeah. Well, you can be an asshole.
Well, no, I just think people shouldn't be asking stupid questions. I also have been thinking a lot about the I have cooked for people I should have poisoned.
Oh my God. Isn't that just such a tasty sentence?
I have really done some meditation on it. All right, dude. I'll see you in another week. That'll feel like 14 days.
Or four. I don't know. Time is not relevant.
No. We're going to wake up tomorrow and record again.
Oh, God. It's spooky.
She goes to pee. I'm gonna burn shit. I'm burning shit. Oh, it's gonna burn my fingers. Oh, ow.